Well, hello, everybody online. How are you? Thank you so much for watching. We are excited, Rock Solid Faith. I just want to encourage you that you need to... Whoa, boy, that is a good-looking jacket there, Spencer. It is important that you really study these classes. In the last days, the Bible says that there's going to be doctrines of demons. There is going to be ministers that are going to come in with topics that will, for your itchy ears, that's not going to be good doctrine. And so you need to make sure that you know what you're talking about. One of the things about Rock Solid Faith is it gives you a solid doctrinal foundation. What you're actually taking in Rock Solid Faith is Theology 101, 102, and 103. These are college courses. And so the reason that we encourage you to know these is because in the last days, if the elect can be deceived, why they're deceived is because they only have little truth. Sadly, we have found that the majority of churches in our region, and I'm not knocking them, but it's just a fact, the majority of churches, in fact, all of the other churches in our area, do not teach this level. And I think this is what makes this church successful. What makes us successful is that people aren't ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You've got to know the word. You've got to know doctrine. Just recently, I heard an individual teaching, or I heard of an individual teaching, who was teaching that there is no more tithing. That is bad doctrine. That is called heresy. Teaching that there is no more spiritual authority. That is heresy. Teaching that there is no more, what was the other one? No more, there was one more. Wait a minute. Heresy. Taught three heresies. And the people didn't get it. The people didn't catch it. And it's very sad. Because what a heresy is non-truth. You've got to know what you believe. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not bliss. That's right, you got to know the word. And so in this class, we've had pastors take this course. We've had people that, how many times have you been in this course now, Rich? This is sixth time going through this class. So, I mean, you can never get this enough. You need to know. Some of you have already heard these topics. Good, I'm excited you've heard these topics. I've been teaching these topics for over 30 years, and I never get bored with them. Why is that? Because you can always learn more. Amen? Or what I found is that usually you don't need to learn more. You need to be refreshed of what you've already learned. It's easy to forget. So you've got to remind yourself. That's not raining. That's monsooning. And so we want to make sure that you're learning. So who's on tonight? Let me see. Let's go through and just say hi to everybody. Tracy, Beckin, let me see, watch this with your video with your friends now, start watch party. I just started a watch party. Is that good? I don't know either. Got more folks coming in, so we'll just keep them coming. So we want to make sure that you doctrinally are not ignorant. Turn to someone and say, I don't want to be ignorant. A lot of people don't mind being ignorant. They just come to church on a Sunday morning. They might hear a good Sunday school lesson. About one of the Bible stories, and then they hear a sermon, and the sermons are good, but I want to let you know that you cannot live on the sermons. They're the directional process of where we're going as a body, as a whole. But you must learn. You must know. The Bible calls us students or pupils. You are called a disciple. Oh, that was the other heresy, that there is no more discipleship. And I want you to know those are heresies. You and I are all disciples. If you are alive, and if you are, say amen, then you are a disciple. So the day you die, you're a disciple. What is a disciple? It's a pupil. It's somebody that's being taught, someone that's being learned, someone that's being developed, somebody that's being matured. And the day you stop being a pupil, the day you stop being a disciple, is the day you start dying. It's not possible that you stop and continue to mature. You've got to grow, which means you've got to make sure that you're always learning, always growing, always maturing. So tonight's topic, how many of you were here for the week we did, Who is God? Very good. I'm glad no one's here. All right, how many were here for Who is Jesus? Very good, a few of you. How many here for Who is the Holy Spirit? That was 2 weeks long. Amen. And we finished it last week. This week, we're going to be in chapter 4 of book 1, which is the yellow book. We're going to be talking about the triunity of the Godhead. Triunity of the Godhead is extremely important because you'll find that all cults, one of the very first principles that identify them as a cult is they do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead. That is the number one identification, number one identifier of whether a church is a cult or false doctrine is a church that does not believe in the Trinity. Believing in the Trinity is a rock solid principle that you have to have solidified in your heart. Now, I want to say this. The term Trinity is never said in the Bible. But the principle of the Trinity is saturated through the Scripture. So we're going to take you on the adventure tonight to prove to you the triunity of the Godhead. And then I want to remind you that is one of your identifiers. So if you're around somebody and they're saying, well, you know, I'm Christian too, what you're going to find is there are a lot of cults. They use what's called semantics. Does anybody know what semantics are? They're word games. They're words that mean something to you. Salvation, what does that mean to you? Salvation means what to you? Being saved, what does being saved mean to you? Going to heaven, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, who is God, not a God. Well, when you're starting to talk to a Jehovah's Witness, the Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is a God, but not God. They do not believe in the Trinity. So here, when they say the word salvation, it means something totally different to them. When you talk to a Mormon about salvation, it means something different to them. It's not that the term has changed, but the definition has changed according to their doctrinal background. So the need to make sure that you understand what you believe when it comes to the triunity of the Godhead is more than just Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on now, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet. And I can get you all to say that, but the why is what you've got to know. Because that is what's going to give you the answer and understanding of how to communicate with somebody who's using semantics. So some of you have had people come up to you and say, well, you know, you go to that cult. The funny part is when you start looking at what a cult is, number one meaning of a cult is they do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead, immediately you can have that dismissed with one simple answer. Well, we believe in the triunity of the Godhead. And they look at you and say, what? Because they don't even know what the triunity of the Godhead is themselves. But that immediately dismisses the fact of this church being a cult, or the Baptist church being a cult, or the Assemblies of God being a cult, or the Christian Missionary Alliance being a cult. We can go through the Methodists. They're not a cult. They believe in salvation, or the initials did. You know, so it's important that you know how to identify, but this triunity of the Godhead is a main focal point when it comes to who is God. Knowing who he is and how he interacts, knowing Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three yet, is more than just you making a statement. It has to be understood in your heart. So Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. Each person of the Godhead is different, yet they are absolutely the same. Exactly. They have the same personality. They have the same nature. They have the same goals. They are three, yet one. One is not better than the other, but there is not one. There's an actual denomination. They're called a Jesus only or an apostolic church. We actually have one in our town. They do not believe in the Trinity. They believe Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Jesus is the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Father. They're not three, yet one. There's only one. So they eliminate the triunity of the Godhead. So understanding this is going to put you in a position to where you understand your foundation. This is one of your foundations. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is the Holy Spirit? how you can prove the Trinity of the Godhead are all foundations for you to become a solid believer, to know what you believe. So this is why we have these as the first three right out of the gate. First four right out of the gate. Because I want to make sure that in this house, you are not doctrinally ignorant, but that you know what you believe. You know whom you believe and are persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. But if you don't know him, you don't understand him, then how can you move in him? In him we live and move and have our being. So this triunity of the Godhead is very important. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on, three yet. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, when you start looking at that, you say, my goodness, well, that just means there's one. Not Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. Wouldn't it be like the other people that are the apostolic church that just believe there's one God? That Father, Son, Holy Spirit are literally just the same individual. Well, that would be true if you just read the scripture. But learning and understanding the Hebrew is very important. So what I want to do in this verse, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. The word one there is very important. The word, God is very important. The word God is the word Elohim. Everybody say Elohim. Say it again, Elohim. Elohim is a very unique name of God that's found in the Old Testament. And it means the singularity of plurality. Say one more time. Elohim, what's that, honey? Of plurality. So the word plural means more than one. Singularity means one. So the actual term Elohim means three yet one. The actual term, the actual Hebrew name of God. This name Elohim is three yet one, singularity in plurality. So yes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet they are one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Elohim, is one Lord. So one of the very first principles of the Jewish nation is making sure that you worship no other gods before you. We found that in Exodus chapter 20, talking about what do they call it? The Ten Commandments. So one of the Ten Commandments is there shall be no other gods before you. So here Israel is very passionate about making sure that you worship the one true God. And the one true God, as we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, is Elohim, singularity of plurality, or plurality yet single. We also see this same verse, or the same word, found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. The Bible says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Our. In this text, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we actually see the term Elohim seen again. Let me read the verse to you one more time. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us, everybody say us, make man in our, say our image. So you see in plurality. According to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. The word God there is the same word Elohim, singularity of plurality or plurality of singularity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet. Come on, three yet. Three yet. Amen. So this is normal as we understand that when somebody looks just at that text, the word God, to them, it just means God. But when you know the Hebrew, or Elohim, it's actually revealing to us the power of our God, the multiplicity in the numericals, but yet singularity in the reality of who God is in our lives. Now, what's really cool is recognizing the next portion. It says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The word likeness means resembling. Or to be like that, to be like God. This is the cool part about who you are. Turn to somebody and say, you're stinking cool. How are you cool? You and I are created in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. We know that according to John chapter 4, verse 24, God says, I am a spirit, and those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. The difference between you and an animal is exactly this text right here. God said, let us, Elohim, make man in our image and in our resemblance. How God made man is different from how he made animals. Animals are called dichotomous. Everybody say dichotomous. We're using big words, ready? Dichotomous means there's two parts. An animal has a soul. What's a soul? The intellect, the emotions, and the will. Dogs can be sad. Amen. Dogs are intelligent. Amen. Intellect, emotions, and a will. How many of you have ever known that a dog has a will? Amen. Tell a dog to sit down, turn around, they're leaving. They have their own will. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, an animal only has the dichotomous. They have a soul and a body. How many of you know dogs have bodies? That's an easy one. But what an animal does not have, an animal was not created in the image of God. What does that mean? Well, if God is a spirit, then you and I, as you and I have been created in his likeness, we have a spirit. We are trichotomous. Say, I'm a trichotomous being. What? That means you got three parts. Everybody say three. So an animal has two, but a human has three. We are a spirit, like God, who has a soul, intellect, emotions, and will, and we live in a body. We are trichotomous. Animals are dichotomous. Animals do not have a living spirit, which means they're not eternal. Somebody said, well, will animals be in heaven? Yes, there are animals in heaven. Will it be your personal pet in heaven? The Bible doesn't say at all. But we know that your animal is not going to die and then to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Well, I don't know. My dog sinned pretty good. He was a thief. He was a liar. I had a dog that was vindictive. So the difference between a human is we are trichotomous, made in the likeness of God. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet? One. We are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Your physical body is not the real you. That's just the outward container. The real you is your spirit. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible says that your spirit man is dead. If your spirit man is dead, that means you are dead in your trespasses and sin. You will still live eternally, but you will be living separated from God. For somebody has to pay for that sin. The moment you became born again, when you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we are born again, there's the anointing. As we are born again in Jesus, there is a shift. I've gone from death to life. That means your spirit man that was dead in your trespasses and sin, the moment your sins are washed away, your spirit man now comes alive. You are alive in Christ is what the word says. So now your spirit man is alive. So your spirit who has a soul, how many of you got an intellect? How many have emotions? How many, you know you got your own will. Come on now. You're a soul who lives in a body. We're going to cover that more next week. But this is where we know and recognize that we've been created in his likeness and in his image as we are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. Now, creation, we can actually see the triunity. Scripturally, it's important to be able to show the triunity. Since the word is not there, we got to be able to show it through proof. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let all things be established. So we need to be able to show a doctrine. Now, a doctrine is not just something you pull out of one verse and say, boy, I like that. I'm going to make that a doctrine or going to make that an inheritance. It is something that has to be seen through the whole word a minimum of three times. So we're talking about the doctrine of the triunity of the Godhead. It must be seen all the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. And so the very first place we start seeing this is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 verse 2 says this, "And the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over all the face of the waters." So the first person we see at creation is whom? The Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, "Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." So who are we seeing now? God the Father. So at the very first two verses, we see God the Father, and we see God the Holy Spirit. Right out of the gate. But then we look in John chapter 1, and Jesus makes a statement. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." So now we find Jesus where? At the beginning. So in the beginning, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "All things were made through him, and without Jesus, nothing was made." So Christ was at creation. Genesis 1, 2, the Holy Spirit at creation. And God the Father declaring creation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet. Genesis 1, 26, "And God said, Elohim, let us make man in our image and in our likeness." So right in Genesis chapter 1, we see the settling on the beginning of that principle and the doctrine of the triunity of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. All three at creation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "For by Jesus all things were created that were in heaven and were on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." So without any question, we see all three, yet one, in the very first chapter of the Bible, declaring creation. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one, the Trinity of the Godhead. We also see the Godhead in single verses in the Bible. Here we go. Ready? Mark 1, verses 9 through 11, when Jesus was being water baptized. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming from the water, he saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So when Jesus was being baptized, we see Jesus, Father, we hear him, and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. So we're starting to see this doctrine, not something that's fictitious or something that we're just pulling out of our ears or just an ideal that we can generate. But because the word is not there, this principle has to be established strongly all the way through the scripture. So at creation, we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are now seeing when Jesus was baptized in water, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now we see it again in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Three yet, come on, three yet. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. So what do we see? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the communion of the Holy Spirit. All three mentioned in the same verse, three yet one. So this is not an abnormal doctrine. This is not something that was misunderstood, especially with the terminology or the Hebrew word Elohim, the singularity of plurality. We see that this doctrine is not something just made up. It is a solid doctrine that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are three yet one. And this is important to establish in our lives, because with this, we see God working differently with each of the Godhead for us and with us on the planet. So after creation and Adam and Eve's sin, we see that God, the Father, was working with mankind on the earth. From the moment that he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, to all of a sudden now has to extract them from the garden because of their sin, he covered them with the blood of animals. How many of you know that was the very first death that we see on earth? Was the animals that were slaughtered and had to die to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. Many people don't realize that. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. So the very first shedding of blood was found in the garden because Adam and Eve sinned. An animal, innocent animal, died so that they could cover their shame. Remember, that's why they hid themselves. They were in shame. So that's the very first animal that died. But God the Father worked with mankind on earth. We know that we have the tabernacle. In the tabernacle was called the Holy of Holies. The Shekinah glory was released from heaven into the Holy of Holies, into the tabernacle. And God's presence was there. A priest could only go in once a year. If the priest went in and there was any sin, they had their priestly garments on. They would do their sacrifices for their own sins in the outer court and then in the inner court. But then they would come into the Holy of Holies. They would tie a rope around their legs, and they would have bells around the bottom of their garment. Why? Because if there was any sin in their life, they would drop dead in the presence of God. They knew that he was dead because the tinkling stopped. And so they would drag him out and say, "Next." No. After the tabernacle, we see that God, we know that Solomon built the temple. And the presence of God was in the temple. We know even the priests, the Bible says in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, that the presence of God was so thick in the tabernacle that the priests could not even stand because of the presence of the Lord. It's important to recognize that God the Father was working with mankind on earth up until Jesus Christ came. When Jesus Christ was sent by the Father, we know the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, for she was a virgin. And he didn't have sex with her. He planted the seed in her. And I know some people, they struggle with that. He planted the seed in her, did not have sex with her. The Holy Spirit did not have sex with Eve. Planted the seed in her because Jesus had to be all God and all man in the same body. And so Mary, who was from the lineage of David, and if you remember, when we start getting into the covenants, one of the covenants was that David, the seed of David, would bring forth the Messiah. Amen. And she was from that lineage. So when the seed was planted into Mary, it was fulfilling the prophetic words of the lineage of David that had to come through. So now Christ was in the womb of Mary. And if you remember, she went away and she got into the presence of Elizabeth and John the Baptist. How many of you know that John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin? He jumped. When Elizabeth and Mary came into the same room, Elizabeth was about 6 months old, 6 months more pregnant than Mary. All of a sudden, John the Baptist in the womb recognized the Messiah in Mary and leapt inside Elizabeth's womb, because John the Baptist, still in the womb, recognized the Messiah in the cousin. Isn't that powerful? So once Jesus was born, now Jesus, who is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one, now God the Father no longer is working with man directly. Now it is Jesus, the Messiah on the earth, working with man directly. So God the Son is now the one working with mankind on the earth. Once Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, he ascended on high, according to Acts chapter 1, we know that according to John chapter 14 and 16, that God sent the Holy Spirit. So now God the Holy Spirit is the one working with mankind on earth, because now Jesus is seated with Christ, or Christ is seated with God in heavenly places. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So now God the Father is in heaven, God the Son is in heaven, and God the Holy Spirit is the one working inside of us. Now, that's very exciting because they are three yet one, which means there is not one greater than the other in the essence of one better than the other. They are all the same working through us in the same dimension, but yet in different ways. So now when you confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, you literally become possessed by the Holy Spirit, because when he comes in, you become the temple of the Holy Ghost. So now if you're born again, say amen. If you're not, say, oh my, we'll get you saved before the service is over. If you're saved, that means literally God himself, God who is at creation. Verse 2. And the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth at creation. God, the Holy Spirit, now has taken up residence in your spiritual man. So literally you are housing. The Bible says that God does not live in temples made with hands, but he lives in us. That you and I now possess God, literally, or God possesses us in our spiritual man. Are you with me? So Father worked with mankind on earth for a period of time. Then the Son worked on earth with mankind for a period of time. Now the Holy Spirit works with man on the earth during this time. And that will again change once the rapture of the church happens. So you're seeing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I am God, I change not. But yet how he has dealt with man has changed. Which one of the Godhead has worked with man has changed over time. But yet you'll find the same flow. Why? Because they're the same. Same in character, same in nature, same in goal. Three yet one. So triunity is not something strange. It's something seen with continuity through the entire scripture. Now, what I love about God is many times God will take things of the natural to help us understand the supernatural. So let's just take water in talking about triunity. Water can be seen as a solid, a liquid, and a gas. Are they all water? Do they all have H2O? Yes. They're just in different form. Three yet. How about time? Past, present, and future. Are they all time? If you extract one of them, is it still time? No, they've got to be all. Past, present, and future is what makes up time. If you extract future, that means you have none. That means we cease now. If your present isn't alive or isn't real or isn't part of time, well, then you have no background. And if your present isn't, dear Lord, I don't even know what we'd be. So time is past, present, and future. That is what makes up the three components of time. They are all time, but yet presented in different manners. How about an egg? You have a shell, a white, and a yolk. Now listen, you can go to a restaurant and say, I want some eggs, and get egg whites. I'm sorry, that's not an egg. That is an egg white. Gotta have the yolk. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Gotta have the yolk. Is the yolk an egg? Part of an egg. Is the shell an egg? Part of the egg. Is the white an egg? It's part of the egg. What makes the egg? All three, yet one. When you say an egg, if I threw an egg at you, what do you expect to be in there? Not a chick, no. If I throw an egg at you, what are you expecting to be in there? Yolk and a white, and I just hit you with something hard called the shell. Three, yet one. Now, let's be real. When you start even using these natural understandings, they are very weak in essence of truly who God is. But he does give us these natural abilities to look at something and at least get conceptually. If you can truly wrap your head around the triunity of the Godhead, I'm talking truly comprehend it, truly understand it to the highest level. If you can truly understand God, you are God. You and I are finite beings. What does finite mean? We are limited. What does infinite mean? Unlimited. We are not unlimited. We are limited. I just saw this online the other day. I'm hoping I can remember it. It was so cute. There was an atheist and a young person on an airplane together. Do you see that one? Help me if I do it wrong. They were on the airplane together, and the atheist, an older man, just wanted to spark up conversation. So he said to the young person, he said, "Hey, you know, if we talk, it makes the flight go by faster." And the young person said, "Okay." And she said, "What do you want to talk about?" He says, "Let's talk about atheism, and there is no God." She says, "I just have a question for you first. Horses, what are the three animals? Wasn't it a rabbit, a horse, a cow, and a goat?" Okay. A horse, she said this. "So let me ask you this question. A goat poops pellets. A cow poops patties. And a horse poops biscuits. They all eat the same thing, grass. Why do they poop differently?" And he said, "I don't know." She says, "Then why do you think you have the intelligence to tell me whether there is a God or not?" I just thought it was cute. But it is amazing to realize how many people out there are saying that there is no God in their absolute ignorance, but yet it is so easy to see how God is and who he is. So it's really that you and I have to lay hold of this doctrinal principle, lay hold of this doctrinal truth, and even though we truly, because we are finite beings, can't completely wrap ourselves around this, the principle is easily seen through Scripture. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they are three yet. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet one. All the same in nature, all the same in character, all the same in goal, but yet in diversity. Questions? By the way, this is the shortest class in all of the rock solid faith books. And I want you to know that I'm on target for the shortest class I think I've ever taught. Questions? Questions online. You can ask a question, any question you want. The question was about the reason we use that is for the people online. They can't hear you talk. Oh. So the unity candle that husbands and wives do at the wedding, does that represent the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? I mean, it can, but I think where the great...
you're doing it in front of the Lord.
Yes. What I think a lot of them... Let's just take my opinion on this because this isn't a good opinionated one. You have the two outers and you have the inner. And they're taking the two outers, lighting the middle, and blowing the two outside candles out. I always tell the couples, don't blow the outside candles out because that's why you have a middle candle. Amen? You married them because of the uniqueness. So if you only have one candle in the middle, you lose the uniqueness of the individuality that makes you the unity. Well, come on now. Jesus. Right. Yeah, the real, I guess the real background of that is really not what it is. It's more of them becoming one flesh. But at the same time, you know, it does represent the triunity of the Godhead if it's done correctly. Yes. Oh, you got to have a microphone.
I remember when I got married, our pastor talked with us and talked about there were three people involved in the wedding, and it was God, and it was my wife, and it was myself. So we had a triangle. It was three yet one.
That works. I mean, honestly, I mean, the triunity of the God is just so easy to see in Scripture. The challenge that we have is, the thing I like about it is you can easily tell a cult. It's an easy tell. I just look at him and say, do you believe in the Trinity? Well, no, we don't believe in the Trinity. Well, then, hi, you are a cult. No. Well, remember, a lot of people just, they don't break down these principles. Questions? This is going to be a short class if you don't ask questions. Yes. All the way in the back there, young man. All the way back. Raise your hand up, Deb. Anybody online have a question about the triunity of the Godhead?
I know this may sound silly, but if heaven is more than what we ask or think, right?
Correct.
I need my animals there.
That's between you and Jesus. I'm not getting involved with this one. I've actually had people leave the church because they said, you said my animal doesn't go to heaven. I said, I didn't say anything. I stepped away from that one. All I can tell you is they are dichotomous, not trichotomous. So take that up to the Lord.
Well, no, I'm not being argumentative.
No,
I'm just
saying
that it just would seem to me.
We know that the wolf shall lay down with the lamb. I know everybody thinks it's lion. If you look it up, it's a wolf. No, look it up.
But doesn't that mean?
It means there is animals.
Never thought of it.
I know one of those animals. Cults too, Lisa. Innocence dies for guilt. Questions? I mean, seriously, you're going to get this going to be over in a few moments. Questions? Yes. Oh, microphone, come on over here, young man. Look at the strength of his running abilities. Run, Forrest. Right here, Brother Ed.
It's impossible for the Holy Spirit and a demon to possess the same person.
That is correct.
How then does one get a demon and once they're saved other than
backsliding? The question was, since a demon will not live, God's Holy Spirit will not live in the same physical body, spirit body, as a human with a demon, if a person was saved, how can they become demon-possessed? It's called backsliding. They turn their back on the Lord. They walk away from God. They open themselves up to a demon, and God's Spirit will extract, and the demon will enter. Yes.
I just recently went through a really hard time. I had went off my thyroid medication, and I ended up in the BSU. And I felt closer to God than I ever had. But everyone was telling me that I was acting evil, like I was possessed by an evil spirit. And I was just wondering.
Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Yes, I do.
Well, then you can't be possessed by a demon.
Okay.
A person can be oppressed, which means influenced, but not possessed means ownership.
Okay.
Anybody else? Yep, you're all right. I knew after a while we're going to get questions. I love this.
So if you were saved and walked away, you have to get saved again?
Yes, you have to come back to the Lord. Okay. We see this in the book of Revelation chapter 3 with the church of Laodicea. He says, I have somewhat against you, or you are neither caught cold nor hot. Therefore, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. He said to the church of Ephesus, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. You can't lose your salvation. You can walk away from your relationship with God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We also see this in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, where it says in verse 3, or I think it's verse 4, where it says, really, they once knew the power and the anointing. They once knew of the things and walked away. So we do have, it's called backsliding, the ability to walk away from God, to walk away from our salvation, to say, I no longer want to serve you, I want to serve myself, I want to serve the devil. When a person does that, it's one of the most dangerous, being a backslider is one of the most dangerous places that you can actually be. And the reason for that is there's no greater trophy for Satan than somebody who was once God's child. Jason asked a question online. Can a backslider be forgiven? Absolutely. Man, the moment you call on God, he'll be right there and wash your sins away. But, man, I wouldn't take long. If you're a backslider, I wouldn't take long to get right. Don't take long to get right because you're dog meat. I'm talking like the devil just can't wait to get you and keep you. And so you don't play when you're backslidden. You want to stay right with the Lord. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Stay tight with Jesus. Stay tight with Jesus. Because when you get untight with Jesus, when you start walking away from God, you got to know, man, the enemy wants you as his trophy. Great question. Anybody else? Yes. Hold on, you got to have a microphone, love.
It's not a question, but when you're backsliding, you're seven times worse than you were before.
That verse right there is talking about demon spirits. Now, not everyone who's backslidden has a demon. Some people that are backslidden, like Demas, he loved the world more than he loved God. So, Demas, he's a man that followed Paul. He's in the scripture, a man who walked away from Christ. And so it's important to know that you can walk away from the Lord and not be demon-possessed. Now, I will tell you that you open yourself up for demon possession. You open yourself up for demon oppression. It is a very dangerous posture to be in, is being backslidden. Very dangerous. And I don't think you're brave. I think you would be considered foolish. You know, you posture yourself for demonic activity in your life. So the seven back is mainly somebody who has a demon cast out of them. The demon goes about looking for a new place to dwell, finds nothing, comes back to the old house, finds that Christ is not in there. That person didn't get right with Jesus, and now brings back seven more worse than themselves. Questions? Doing that so well.
This is actually a little off topic, but we've talked recently about angels and how we have angels protecting us. Where do you find the information? I know you said we have four. Where does that come from?
The Bible
from?
Says that his angels encamp around those who love him.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
An encampment is at least four. When you study the tabernacle, the children of Israel surrounded the tabernacle. Oh, somebody said, being the yoke is the best part of the Trinity. God is the white, the spirit is the shell. We can say whatever you want. That is humorous thoughts. That's a good one. Anybody else? It's a short class, but man, I want to make sure you get it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three yet? Not two, not three. Three yet? One. All the same character, all the same nature, all the same goal. They are persons. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. Amen. So the Father has a spirit, lives in spirit, acts in spirit. We know the Holy Spirit lives in spirit, acts in spirit. But Jesus Christ actually received a body. Questions are good, brother. You don't ever apologize in this house for questions.
So, like, if you, before I came here 2 weeks ago, I was backsliding.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. Well, if you swear at the Lord and tell him you hate him and all kinds of things in the middle of a half a bottle of whiskey and a dead son and all that going on, he'll forgive you for that if you ask to be forgiven and you want him back.
Absolutely.
It's just,
you're talking about the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is a sin against the Holy Spirit.
I just don't understand why he would.
I'll explain it right, real quick. Some people have thought they've committed the unpardonable sin because they told God, I want nothing to do with you, get away from me, cuss at them, hate them. But the fact is that God knows your heart. Now, a person who's committed the unpardonable sin will never, ever, 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 ever have another desire for God. So if you've ever had another desire for God, you've never committed the unpardonable sin. You would not be sitting here if you committed the unpardonable sin. Absolutely. Very real. Yep. Put that microphone up to him so people.
After being saved since 2006.
Yep.
It didn't take me a month to go right straight back to everything I was doing prior to finding Jesus.
Yes.
That's, I didn't want to tell a story, but.
That's good.
The demon possession thing, I almost for a while thought I was, mm-hmm. you know.
I actually was demon possessed. I got demon possessed at 4 years old. My mother cast it out of me at 10. So I understand that possession stuff pretty good.
Hey, Pastor, I was wondering, you said we got four angels around us. Now, if you backslide, what's the angels going to do? What happens to them?
Well, I don't know. The Bible says his angels encamp around those who love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're not loving him, where are the angels? They're not encamping. Yeah. You don't get the benefit of the protection. You never want to outrun Thor. No, I'm just kidding. Some guy said to me, I've named them all. I've named all my angels. I said, that's good. Anybody else online? Anybody got a question? Pray for Christopher. Yes, I agree. I'm not going to say his name out loud, but he is a medium. Yep. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the demons that are motivating that individual will be bound in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you'll reveal yourself. That God, the gifts and the talents that you have blessed that man with will, as he gets born again, blood washed, will come to the saving knowledge of Christ and be used for your glory. Amen. One question left. Yes. I was getting disappointed.
On it. So I know that the tabernacle had the holy light, the glory of God.
Shekinah glory, it's called.
Yes. Now, because of time and so on and so forth, is that still in existence? I've heard storylines of it being still.
We
in
have
the same
seen
place,
people but. Have seen a manifestation of the Shekinah glory. Mm-hmm. People have also seen the manifestation of the cloud of glory. This house has seen that before. Mm-hmm. The cloud of glory, where literally there was a cloud in the back of the sanctuary. There was, I think, five or six men. Terry, were you one of those guys? Yep. In the back of the sanctuary, the cloud was so thick they actually went to go put their hands through it.
Because I've heard before that they said that. At the Lord's temple, even though obviously it's in a lot of damage and whatnot, that there's still the Shekinah glory still coming through in one location in it.
I don't know that. I have really not heard that, but it doesn't mean I haven't heard everything. So I don't know. Okay. I will tell you that the Ark of the Covenant has been found and sent back to Israel. And the as Brother Tiff was telling us, the temple that will be used for the end time sacrifices is all prefabricated and ready to be raised.
Yep.
The red heifer, pure blood of the red heifer has been, the strand has been found, and the reason for that red heifer is they actually make a sacrifice out of it, and then they spread that. It's a demanded sacrifice on the third temple to spread it before God's presence will return.
Yes.
So everything's in line right now. Woohoo! All right. Praise the Lord. You got out early. Woohoo! You didn't sound excited. Okay, maybe we should teach some more. Okay, man, I can teach for 4 or 5 hours. That is not a problem with me. And next week, we're getting into one of my favorite topics, the trichotomy of man. You do not want to miss next week. I don't know what you got to do. I don't know what you got to cancel. But you do not want to miss next week. Next week's lesson is so powerful that you cannot live successfully for Jesus without truly understanding how you were created. You can't. You can only live on accident. Accident means you can't repeat it. I don't want to live on accident. I want to live on purpose. So don't miss next week's. And I know there are a lot of you that are watching online. I'm scrolling. Look at all y'all online. Man, there's a lot of folk online. I could have another 50, 60 people online. Get here. Get in the house. I know you don't want to leave your living room. I don't either. But come. You'll be blessed in-house, not just out-of-house. Amen? All right. Does anybody have any more? No, I'm not going to do that. I was going to ask if any more questions. Oh, it was Kevin. Dennis, no, they actually do. The Catholic religion does teach the same thing in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They do believe three, yet one. Let me see. I think somebody else had a question. I don't want to miss any of them. Backslider being forgiven, yes. I think that's it. Yes, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, very good. Let's stand. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, thank you that you are so powerful. Lord, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us revelation knowledge to at least have a level of comprehension of the greatness of our God, the Godhead, the triunity of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, thank you for living inside of us. Thank you for moving inside of us. Thank you that you are God and that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we are led by the Spirit of God and therefore we are the children of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have set yourself up and we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that there is nothing that we cannot accomplish because you dwell inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We are honored to be called children of God, honored to be called citizens of heaven, honored to be called and be used for your honor and your glory. This week, Jesus, use us to invite many souls, Lord, to your house, many souls to your kingdom. Lord, use us to be a great harvester in these last days. Jesus, don't allow us to be ashamed. Fill us with the Holy Ghost and with power that we will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, give us an unction with the gumption. Lord, give us a passion for your word. Give us a passion for your power. Give us a passion to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. Use us, Holy Spirit, for you are God. You brooded over the earth. Now you dwell in us. Now make yourself known that we will decrease, so you will increase. In Jesus' name, bless the offering, bless the giver, bless the seed, bless the tithe, bless your house. Oh God, increase us in such a dimension, as your prophetic words have said, that there'll be so much we won't know what to do with it. We'll have to look for places to give it away. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Right online, if you're watching online, you can give online as well. Make sure that you go right to the website and hit give. We love you. Some person said it's going to take them 7 hours to get here. I don't know where they live. That's a long ways. Yeah.